Hey Dreamers, this is Wes Chapman, the founder of A Human Project, and each day as you're going through your life, don't forget your dreams, and don't forget to check out the latest episode of the Dreamers Podcast.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Veronica Berry. It is Berry, right? It's not pronounced.
It is Berry.
Okay.
It is Berry, yes.
I didn't know if it was some kind of other pronunciation.
Nope, it's Berry.
On today's episode is a very special episode. I found out about Veronica Berry and her son, Seth, who have gone through a lot of things in just 2 years, unfortunately. He had a medical condition where he had to have extra fingers removed. Is that correct?
Yeah, he had 6 fingers on each hand. It was funny because we only thought he had a 6-finger on one hand, but the latest ultrasounds near the end of my pregnancy, he kept hiding his one hand. So he thought he only had one hand with 6 fingers. He wound up having them on both. They weren't fully developed yet, and they were worried. Usually they can do a procedure called tying them off at birth. They were going to go tie his 6 fingers off. That's a procedure that they normally do, but they were worried that they had bones and nerves in them, so he had to go for surgery. The earliest part of the surgery was 6 months of age. So he had to go to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia to get those 6 fingers removed. So it was funny because he looked like he had little boxing mitts for like a month afterward, you know, and my husband would take his hands up in the air and say, Adrian, like on the movie Rocky. But yeah, he had to go and get them surgically removed, surprisingly enough. So, and they did a really good job. I mean, he has little scars right next to his pinkies, but it's really not noticeable until like you actually feel it or take a look at his hands. A fantastic job on it.
So at the time, that brought up, what, $20,000 of medical bills, right?
When he was born, it was $7,000 because, unfortunately, our health insurance wasn't able to cover everything. He was what is called assisted birth. The bill without health insurance was like $33,000. He had his hospital bill over at CHOP. I think that's probably $5,000 to $6,000 because it was considered partially cosmetic surgery and partially not. It did cover a good portion of it, but it was probably, I would say, about, we didn't even get a chance to pay off them yet. Most of it that was paid was when he was actually born, and that we paid like a little bit of a portion for Crozier. God, I have to add the money up, but we paid a lot. Between the past two years, it was about $10,000 in bills and hospital bills for him. So I just wished our health insurance covered more. That's all. I mean, I guess if you look at this way, they said they cover 80%. For our hospital stays and things like that, that's still only 80%. That's 20% leeway that you need to open.
Which is a lot.
It is a lot. I had to calculate. I added it over and over again. You're going to laugh at this. This is horrible. I know it's not a visual, but this is the remaining.
Oh, that's quite a big stack of papers there.
This is the remaining virtual lab for physical therapy, Crozier, radiology, the law firm, advocate. Yeah. It's a lot. But this is the remaining, which is 9,500 of it.
And it's taken you just this long to get to that point. But then something else occurred in the last 2 years since Seth was born, right?
Yeah. A week and a half before Christmas, Seth had a very, very bad accident. He was at the sitter's house. And you know, what's sad is that the sitter, she and her husband adore him. And they love him so much, like as a part of the family. It was devastating for us all, but he's very quick. He started standing and walking and running very early for a toddler or for a baby at that time. But when he ran quick, and he's quiet. And he was sitting down in the living room with the sitter's husband, and out of respect for them, I'm going to keep their names out because they still watch him. And people are like, how can you still have them watch him? Because as I said, it was a very very bad accident, and it could happen to any child. It's not like a neglect thing, you know, it was just a bad accident. He was sitting in the living room with her husband, and she had the baby gate down, which I understand that sounds bad, but she was cooking in the kitchen, and she had her back turned from the stove, and her husband looked away for that brief minute and saw that he was, and when he looked back, he was gone. And when my son is hungry, he's hungry. So he ran into the kitchen and he saw a big giant pot on the stove that was filled with soup. And I'm talking, there's one of those big, huge pots that you would, I guess, you know, make gravy and sausage with and meatballs for spaghetti. And he ran to the stove and she had her back turned because she was cutting up something, I don't know, vegetables or whatever for the soup. And then she saw him last second and he pulled the pot of soup on himself. A little bit of the medical for him as well was partially also for me for my medical leave because it was traumatizing for myself as well. Because when he pulled the soup on himself, they were freaking out so bad that they called me and they said that there was an accident. There was an accident. I didn't hear him. So I thought he was gone. And then I heard him scream. Their daughter came in and ripped, I guess basically ripped the phone out of his hands because he didn't know what to do. She says, we're taking him to the hospital right now. So they took him to Cooper and he burned half of his face, half of his neck, his shoulder, and almost all of his chest from the soup. Thank God it never got into third degree burns. It was like first and second. They also said, thank God that he closed his eyes when the soup hit because he would have been blinded in one eye. But he managed to close his eyes when he saw it falling. He closed his eyes when it hit. So thank God for that because if not, he wouldn't have sight in one eye. So they took him to Cooper Hospital. They could have called an ambulance, but they were afraid the ambulance wasn't going to get there soon enough. So they drove him there. So he was at Cooper. I don't even remember driving there. My husband doesn't even remember driving there. My mother-in-law was already in New Jersey. I adore her and love her so much. She's like a real mom to me. She flew there too. And they took him. They got him calmed down. They put him up on painkillers. And, you know, they dressed the dressing on him. And I went on the ambulance ride from Cooper to Crozier. So we went to Crozier Burn Center in PA. It's supposed to be one of the best in the country. And I do have to say they were. They definitely are the best in the country because he only has a scar left on his chest. He has a little bit of discoloration on his neck, but you can't even really tell anymore. Face 100% healed, and his neck, his shoulder. He has a little bit of discoloration for pigment on his skin on his chest, and then he has that scar. But it was very traumatic. I don't want any parent to ever go through that. Ever. Ever. They shouldn't have to ever go through that. It could have been much worse than what it had been. I mean, it sounds pretty severe as it is, but it could have been much worse. I hear situations about what happened to her children, and I think he only got burned, I think it was 20% of his body. So it could have been a lot worse. When you get that call and people are freaking out because they don't know what to do and you don't hear them anymore, like you don't hear them at all, it's bad. He's my only one that's my own blood. I love his brothers to death. I heard him scream. I went back to work like 2 weeks later. I only lasted at my job for a month because when I was talking to customers, that scream that he had, I never heard anything like it. So when I was talking to customers at my job, all I kept hearing was him scream in the back of my head. So I had to go and leave myself too. So a little bit of the medical is partially my own. Most of it's his. But I got help. I got diagnosed with slight post-traumatic stress syndrome because I couldn't talk to people because I kept hearing them scream in the back of my head and I couldn't shut it off. But I would probably have to say probably 17,000 out of the 20,000 that was there is all him. But $3,000 of it is partially mine too. But I didn't counter for that with the $10,000 that we did for GoFundMe. GoFundMe is all him. But I got help and I wound up doing a lot better when I came back 100%, probably stronger than I have been in the past 3 years since I got the right help. So I tell people, if you go through a traumatic situation with your children or even with yourself, get the help. Find a good help, you know, because not all of them are very helpful, but it does work. but it's tough. I still get overly worried because he's a little bit accident prone.
I see him running around back and forth across the screen.
you see how fast he is.
Yeah.
And he was like that when he was a little bit over a year old when he got in his accident. He got up and he was gone, and they're like, my baby's not even standing yet or not even walking, and he's running around like a little madman. He has a lot of energy, very smart, but very curious, inquisitive. Doctors say that's actually a very good thing. I said, I understand that, but it wasn't so good on his behalf last year in December when he got his accident, because he tries to do everything himself. He tries to put his own socks and shoes on, his own diapers on, his own pants. He wants to get his own drink. So I think in his mentality that when he pulled that big pot of soup on himself, he's like, I'm going to go try to feed myself, because he's just Mr. Independent, which is a great thing in his day and age. You need to be strong and you need to be independent. It was funny in a way when we were at the burn center, you know, after the first day, it was really rough while we were there. The second day, he was still smiling. I got a picture of him with, and I'm still debating. I don't know if I want to post that on GoFundMe, but he has half of his face burned and he's smiling and his eyes are sparkling and got back to his old self, because he's always been Mr. Happy on the most part. I mean, he may not be that happy with me right now because I'm working so much, but I plan to make it up to him once January and February hits, when I have more time. I know that he knows that.
You work in retail as a manager of two stores, right? For GameStop, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, especially now with the holidays, it's definitely got to be a bit crazy for you, because it's every day, all day. And, I mean, you were telling me before the interview that it's, 60 to 70 hours work weeks?
It depends. My Friday week, I did 73 hours.
Wow.
I think last week was 61. I think this week is 61, but that's not usually my norm. My norm is usually through the course of the year is 45 to 50. But when you're a salary, that's what you sign on for, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But it's definitely challenging. I said, since I've been there for a very long time, right now, the way I see it, this is the job that's going to make my son go to college.
So let's move on to just this year since the accident. You know, your husband, unfortunately, you were telling me before the interview, was laid off twice just this year alone.
He got laid off twice this year, yeah.
Which is horrible. I'm really sorry to hear that. So that factored into the decision to do something that you normally wouldn't do, right?
I don't like asking for help. My husband doesn't like asking for help. We're one of those people that we'll handle it ourselves. People have worse off situations than we do, so we'll do it ourselves. Even though my job is pretty good, it's almost impossible to survive off of one income unless you're doing that six-digit income. But we managed to say, hey, you know, and it was horrible, because when I went on my disability leave for myself to get my head back on straight, he got actually laid off. At that time, I left on my leave at the end of January, and he got laid off about a week later. At least that the state was able to grant me the disability, and I got the Family Leave Act, and I used some of my time to get myself better for my family. So we wound up getting backed up. We were still able to pay for our bills. My husband, you know, he amazes me, because he has two other children from his previous marriage, and I view them as my own, and he pays child support on time, and he makes sure that we're there for them, you know, and we do things with them when we can. But money's paycheck to paycheck. Things were starting to show up late here and there. Then he got a really good job in the summer, and it was supposed to be guaranteed full-time, and the company wound up going into financial issues, so they laid him off and say, you know, you can't work right now. I'll get you back in as soon as I can, but I'm having money problems. He steered him towards his friend who also runs a tree service company for construction. And he was able to do part-time work here and there. And then all of a sudden, they stopped working him, too. So it's like a triple whammy in a way. So he wasn't working at all anymore. And he was able to pick up part-time here and there. And then December, I think, was the true dead zone. Because it was like, I think, a month and a half straight he didn't have work. Late August till middle of October. And then he was able to pick up some work again from the same guy that he joined up in the job during the summer. But it wasn't full-time. And then he said, I can't afford for you to be on at all. I'm sorry, but I'm going to try to help you. And he wound up working a little bit with another guy. And that's the other person that was a friend of his. And then we're back in the same boat at the beginning of December, not working at all. Rent started becoming late, but our landlord here is fantastic. She said, as long as we got half of our rent in, pay as you can. throughout the month, then you'll be okay. We started noticing when we had a problem when we couldn't really put food in our refrigerator. It was becoming empty. We made sure the food was there for our son. You know, we made sure we got his pull-ups and everything, but the food wasn't really there for us. And then the medical, they reported us to a law firm earlier in the year for the one medical bill for Seth. And we promised them monthly payments, and we kept up with it for a while. As soon as September hit, we couldn't do it because we need to start putting food on the table. New Jersey's a very expensive state to live in, even with my income, where it's like my income alone can't do it. We missed a month in September, and the law firm decided to pass judgment on us. And it's a sin because that one hospital bill that was turned over to the law firm was $7,000. It wasn't even $7,000 when it was turned over because we paid about, I think it was like, and my memory's bad, so you're going to have to bear with me, but I think it was like $4,500 paid off for from the tax return, from our previous tax return. And it was like $2,500 left, and we got it down to $2,000. Now it's down to $1,800. But since we missed a payment with the law firm in September, they passed judgment on us. That dropped my credit score. And it sucks because my credit score was pretty, it's not bad. It's in a satisfactory range, I think. I haven't checked. I'm afraid to check. But I called them and said, you know, we just spent close to $5,000 on tax return time for this one medical bill. And you're going to still report us to collections. You still report us to the law firm. And now you're passing judgment on us because we missed a month. And they said, yes, because you were in agreement to pay a monthly bill with us, and you didn't pay it. So I told him, I said, I guess it doesn't matter that we already paid a large amount of money into it. And she says, no, because you missed a month. I said, well, that's a sin because I know there's people out there that, yeah, obviously they can't pay their medical at all because of certain situations. And that's perfectly understandable because it's the day and age that we live in. But there's people out there that refuse to pay any of their medical. And we're doing the best we can because the past two tax returns and the past two bonus money that could have been going into our savings account for emergencies or to try to save up for our house, we were doing the right thing and giving that all to the medical bills. And there's people out there that say, oh, I have an $80,000, $50,000, $20,000 medical bill or even $10,000 or $5,000. Well, guess what? I'm not going to pay it back. And here you are passing judgment on us because we missed the 1 month, even though we paid majority of that one medical bill. Just that one. It's just a sin, and we missed another payment because we just, as I said, we're trying to get money to at least put food on the table right now. And now we get a letter saying that they're going to try to take us to court. When we got that letter, about 2 days afterward, I looked into GoFundMe, which somebody brought that up to me before, and I told you about that earlier. No, I wasn't exactly agreeing on the whole thing for this one person to do a GoFundMe. I just want to get his medical bills down to nothing so we can at least rebuild back our credit score. We can take care of the rest. We'll take care of our own bills. We'll manage or find a way to make sure that we're putting food on the table. We have family that love us very much that will help out when they can, but they're in their own problems right now with their own financial reasons as well. And my mom, me and my husband, it's so funny. Me and my husband share a car right now, too, because his transmission died on his car this year. And it's like one thing after another. And my mom pays for most of our car, and I'm very ashamed to say that, but she pays most of the car payment. I refuse to ask her for help for medical bills. She helped us get caught up on rent a couple of times already. And it's a shame because my husband's 42 and I'm 36. I can't even remember my own age now. I refuse to ask her for any more help. She's done so much. But if we can just get his medical in control because the calls don't stop and we go to court, it's like I'm trying to figure out what else are we going to lose right now in our life. It's a sin because we're responsible people. We just don't do those month-to-month payments because they split it up into so many smaller bills where it amounts to like a car payment in a month. So what we try to do is, I know it's not the right route, but at least it's getting done. As I said, we use our tax return and my bonus money.
So I know it's really hard to ask for money. I know I find myself doing the same thing. one of my, you know, best friends, Jason, is the one, you know, I saw on his Facebook, and I was very definitely happy to help out where I can, but I thought that maybe if I could help shed some light. I know that a guest that hasn't been on the show yet, but will be, Christian Leonard, was on the show. She is the president of her nonprofit organization, Shining Scars. You know, I got in contact with her, and she, you know, wants to help get the word out, and she also wants to make sure she sends you a copy of her published book, which is really cool. It's all about kids with scars and how awesome they are, because she grew up with scars. But I know it's really tough to ask for money, and I admire your bravery to want to do it. And I'm glad that so far you're pretty close to getting halfway to your goal so far.
Yeah, it's amazing because I told you earlier, and I don't know if I already said this while you were recording your show, is that when I first made it, I felt bad that I made it. So I took it down off my Facebook right away. It was still open as a GoFundMe, but I took it down off of Facebook because I was ashamed to even ask for help. And then the darn thing auto reposted while I was working, and then I noticed it was up for 20 minutes when I went on my break, because for me to have contact with the outside world is the only, unfortunately, is through the Facebook part. So on my break, I'll check Facebook and see how everybody's doing, because I'll be too tired to call them to see how they're doing. As I said, I posted on my Facebook again, and I took it down. Apparently people saw it. My friend Kelly from Arizona, she saw it already. My friend Teresa, she came by, who's, you know, Jay's friend, you know, I'm really close with Teresa, and she came by and visited me for lunch, and she's like, why did you take it down? I said, because there's more people out there that need help than me, and I felt ashamed for doing it, because I said, don't ask for help, and that's what we were just talking about. I don't like to ask for help. There's too much crap going on in the world today where there's people that need more help than we do. And she said, you need to put it back up. She's like, because you can't think of it that way. She's like, you got to put it back up. So I put it back up. It's only been up for, 3 days? For, like, officially up. Or because I was debating about advertising it. Our goal was 10 grand. I left it up, and it's halfway there already. And I'm still in shock about it, to be honest with you. Jay called me at the store and let me know where it was at, and I broke down in tears in the store. My employee looked at me like I was nuts, and I was in a daze all day. There's really good people out there. I always knew there was good people out there. I never doubted that, but there's some really good people out there with really great souls. I'm glad I was sort of forced my hand and putting it back up, including my husband, who forced my hand into it, because I was shocked with him, because he never asked for help. I don't ask for help, but he doesn't ask for help more so than I do.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you asked for help too, because I'm able to help you. I was able to donate some money and hopefully get some more people to finish out the goal here at $10,000. You know, I'm going to set up a link, howtodream.co/Seth, and from there, you know, that'll link right to your GoFundMe site. It's easier to howtodream.co/Seth, S-E-T-H.
And I want to say thank you for doing this. And I said thank you to Jay. I don't even know what to say half the time when it's actually coming to this, you know, to the GoFundMe, because I'm still in shock about it, but thank you. And that's all I can say, because my mind's blown. That's all. And with everybody, and I think I met you at Jay's wedding.
Oh, probably. I was going to ask you if you were there. I was the best man.
I was there with the orange dress, hanging out with Teresa. So you may not remember, but my memory's bad, and I feel bad about that. But I think it's because I run myself into the ground every day. I work very hard, and I try to please everybody, make sure everybody's happy, my family, not just husband Seth, but I try to reach out to my family as much as I can and make sure people have, my job is happy. And that includes my customers. I love my customers. I said, it's just thank you. I'm still in shock about it. I'm probably going to be shocking about for a while, to be honest with you, because I can't believe this is actually happening and it's actually working. And we're able to pay off, you know, his half of what's left of his medical bills is going to be paid off already. And it's a beautiful thing. That's all. You always hear about the bad things on the news. You always hear about bad situations. Good things like this need to be advertised more. I think the state of humanity would be better. I said, we're just very thankful. And if Seth could say thank you, even though he said thank you when he was trick-or-treating his Halloween. But he said thank you to every single person when he got candy. He would say thank you. But I said, he chooses when he wants to talk, and then the rest of his baby babble. So he's getting there. There's sunshine in our household. And it's funny because my mother-in-law, I said, you know, she's an amazing woman. Both of my moms are. I'm probably one of the few people you would ever hear to say that they're close with their mother-in-law. And she said something earlier this year because she's a very classy lady. And she came over. She's very high-spirited. She's a little bit rough around the edges. That's where my husband gets it from. But she has a great heart. She tries to take care of everybody when she can. But she always has this phrase about Seth, and it was, whatever you do, don't let this world break his spirit, because he's always happy. He's playing with everybody's shoes right now in the corner.
Well, Veronica, I really am glad that you decided to come on the show, and I really hope that people decide to help you out, and just, even if, you know, a couple bucks, I mean, it's every little bit counts.
Exactly. It's every little bit that counts. It really does.
So please go to howtodream.co/Seth to help donate to Veronica and her husband and help Seth and hopefully make a better life for Seth, because they won't be under such crushing debt that is, well, there, but it's also impending to get worse. So I really, really, really would love to have my dreamers and my network here of awesome people that listen reach out and just help somebody out, especially, you know, with the Christmas season and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all these other holidays that happen to all be in December. So Veronica, I really appreciate you coming on the show today, and I would love to have you on the show again in you know, a couple months, and follow up on how you've been.
I really appreciate this. Thank you, and thank you for doing this. And you have no idea, just even with the thought that you guys are doing this, we really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm glad that I can try to help make a difference.
I'm still in shock about everything. Good things usually don't come our way. I guess that's the best way to put it. We're not used to this. We're not used to something like this. That's all. Kindness is always shown here and there throughout the years. Yeah, which is a good thing. It's a great, beautiful thing. But something like this never happens. Yeah, and it's happening where those collection calls will stop soon, and his medical will be taken care of, and it's just great. Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Veronica.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter @DreamersPodcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/DreamersPodcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Today's background music has been provided by Tom Amin. You can check out more about Tom Amin at tomaminmusic.com.